I never really liked you. You never revealed yourself to me, and why would you? You who never had anyone. You who always had the bad breaks. Everyone looked at you and thought of you different. What would you have learned to trust? Who would you have learned it from? I never really liked you. I met you through a friend of mine, and he explained to me that multiple sclerosis left you with a faint lisp and a slight limp. If faint, under the surface, but there, traces of something that no one would fully know of you enough to fully understand. I never really liked you. You never revealed yourself to me, and I never wanted you to. You scared me too much. You, plagued with physical ailments. You, with a limp in your walk. You, with a patch over your eye. You, who stared at me for always just a bit too long. They told me that the patch was from eye surgery with complications, and now you had to cover up your shame, cover someone else's mistakes, cover a wrong that wasn't your own doing, cover a problem that you didn't commit. The problems were never of your own doing, were they? I heard these stories and I thought that it was sad. I heard these stories and thought that you had to be a pillar of strength. And then I saw you drink straight from the bottle, 15-year-old Chianti. And I saw you smash your hand into your living room wall. This is how you coped. The house you lived in was littered with trash. Why bother to clean it up anyway? It detracted you from the holes in the wall, the broken furniture from drunken fits. This was how you reacted to life, to the world. You didn't know any better. This was how you coped. I never really liked you. You would come home from work and tell us about a woman who was beautiful and smart and she liked you, but then you'd say she wasn't quite smart enough. And I thought, we believe anything if we tell ourselves enough. We weave these fantasies to get through the days. I never really liked you. Every time you talked to me, you always leaned a little too close. So I stayed away from the house, noted that others whom you called friends did the same. I asked my friend why he bothered to stay in touch, and he said to me, "But he has no friends." This is how I thought of you, a man who was dealt a bad hand, a man who couldn't fight the demons that were handed to him. And with that, I put you out of my mind, relegated you to the ranks of the inconsequential. We parted ways. You were reduced to a sliver of my youth. I received a letter recently, a letter from someone who knew you, someone who wanted me to tell my friend that they read in the newspaper that you hanged yourself. Your brother died in an electrical accident, and after the funeral, you went to the train station, and instead of leaving this town, you went to a small room and left us forever. Strangers had to find you. Police had to search through records to identify your body. The newspaper described you as having health problems, but you knew it was more than that. And I was asked to be the messenger to my friend. The funeral had already passed. You were already in the ground. There was no way he could say goodbye. I shouldn't have been the one to have to tell him this. No one deserved to tell him. He was the only one who tried to care. I never really liked you. No one did. But when I had to tell my friend, I knew his pain. I knew he wanted to be better. I knew he thought that you were too young to die. I knew he felt guilty for not calling you. He knew it shouldn't have been this way. We all knew it. I never really liked you, but now I can't get you out of my mind. You haunt me for all the people we've forgotten in our lives. I don't like what you've done. I don't like you quitting. I don't like you dying and not giving us the chance to love you or hate you or even ignore you for more. My friend still doesn't know where your grave is. I'd like to find it for him, take him to you, let you know that you did have a friend out there. Bring you a drink, maybe, a fitting nightcap to mark your departure, to commemorate a life filled with liquor, violence, pain, and death. I never really liked you, but maybe we could get together in some old cemetery, sit in your gravestone, share a drink with the dead, laugh at the injustices of life when we're surrounded by death. Maybe then we'd understand your pain for one brief moment and remember the moments that we'll always regret.
And accompanying Janet's reading, we've been listening to Ngontag Gyan, which translates to Ornament for Clear Realization by Moseling Dratseng of the Drepung Monastery from the album Tibet, The Heart of Dharma,